listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church with a gun mandate. Get it on. And welcome to Castrol CarCast, brought to you today by Castrol Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance and TommyJohn.com/CarCast. Geico as well, Geico.com. How are you doing, Motorator?
Oh, I'm doing good.
You're, you got the Trackhawk?
Yeah, I was, I'm driving the Jeep Trackhawk. It's a Grand Cherokee with a Hellcat engine in it. And it's ridiculous. It's fun.
It's why the terrorists hate us,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
Like,
it's just,
what
it's,
are we doing here?
It's a 4,000-something pound SUV that's a 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. Maybe faster.
With
launch control, it just...
What is that thing sticker for?
It's about 94,000.
Would you... I'm going to tease this, but for those that are looking at a Range Rover or something... Or maybe even a, I mean, maybe you're looking at the Lamborghini SUV and you go, I'll just save 140 grand or whatever it is. Like if you want something nuts, and
there are a few options,
you're going to spend a bunch of money anyway, wouldn't you just get this? Or is there not enough interior to sort of justify
it? I have
some
thoughts on it,
All right, let me just tell you quickly about the Zybar, everyone. CarCast brought to you by Zybar. For better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, lower underhood temperature, Zybar ultra-thin, high-temp coating reduces radiant heat by 90%. You can learn more at Zycoat.com. That is Zycoat.com. All right, interior things, what do you think?
So the Jeep Trackhawk is, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to say it's going to compete with, like, interior-wise with something like the Range Rover SVR. We haven't driven the Lamborghini Urus yet. We had a chance, you and I, to see it, like, at the Father's Day show about a year ago.
Right.
But this is why I think you get a Trackhawk, is if you want a super SUV and you want to modify it.
Mm-hmm.
And have some fun with it that way, Trackhawk all day long. It's easy to modify. It's got the Hellcat engine. You could do a tune, a blower pulley, and some headers. You're probably at 800 horsepower all day long. And the drivetrain is so beefy. It from the factory, the drivetrain already handles over 800 pound-feet of torque. So there's guys running almost 1,000 horsepower and 4 drag radials, and this thing doesn't break.
Mm. You know, so it's four-wheel drive.
It's four-wheel drive. It's all-wheel drive. And the way it shifts the power, we talked to a specialist on the show with Goldberg as well, the guy that races these things. And he's like, oh, yeah, I run drag radials. He goes, but he runs like a, I don't know, like a 305 in the back and a 275 in the front. So he kind of staggers them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it launches hard, but it squats down and really stretches out its front legs, basically its front suspension. And the front traction really kind of kicks in after it starts moving a little bit because it's leaning back so far at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it boogies. It scoots. It's fun. I mean, a lot of people on social media were going, I would never spend $94,000 on a Jeep. Yeah.
Yeah.
All cars seem expensive these days. And
I agree. And speaking of Hawk, I think Tony Hawk had the Jeep Grand, whatever, that was breathed on by Hennessy or whatever. Remember whatever was? I remember, I think when we did the Toyota Grand Prix, Long Beach, whatever, once, one of the years I did it, it was like me and Tony.
I remember that, yeah.
And I think it was like Keanu Reeves and a couple other guys. We all just went out to go get barbecue somewhere, and we just came. We all hopped into Tony Hawk's. What is that thing? It's a
Hennessy Jeep SRT8.
Yeah. So his was an SRT8 before they made a Hellcat version, or basically the Trackhawk.
Right. So back in 03, or it was an 03, but when I jumped in, it was 07 or whatever it was. But he had essentially that car made by Hennessy.
Yeah.
And my recollection was that Hennessy did X amount of them year, sort of like Roush was doing with Mustangs, yeah, or something like
I'm
that.
I'm sure it was fast.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it didn't work half the time, but it would certainly work when we were in it. And it was fast, and it was fun.
I was in that thing, like, just driving, like, at night, just hammered down at a stoplight somewhere in Hollywood-ish. Mm-hmm. And this it took off, and I forget that it's much louder outside the vehicle than it even is inside of the vehicle, and just didn't do anything fancy, just hammered down from stoplight. It hit hard, and you know, 30 seconds later, some two dudes in like a flat black G63, like Mercedes G wagon, rolled up. They're like, "What the hell, man?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's a Trackhawk." They're like, "God damn, that thing is fast." I was like, "Yeah,
yeah,
it's quick, buddy. It's quick."
Well, G wagon. Why'd you buy that wagon?
I'd rather have the Trackhawk.
Also, it's kind of weird because the G wagon. It's like, oh yeah, that's the G whatever. That's Hitler's car. Yeah. Like, oh, maybe if pick up another designation at a certain point. Like, although, you know, I guess Mitsubishi made the Zero for Japan, mm-hmm. and Mitsubishi's strong and whatever. But that Hitler's car was a G, you know, Mercedes made a G whatever back in the day. And I don't know. I'm not Jewish, but it's weird that we're going with the G-Wagon.
Yeah,
because everything's just like an SL something or 450 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they need enough history to do that. But there's very few things faster than the Trackhawk. And fortunately, I am going to be swapping it out for a Nissan GTR tomorrow, or as you're listening to this.
Which
will be a little faster.
Little bit. Yeah. I mean, obviously top speed, but 0 to 60.
Like 2.9 for a GTR and like... Jeep says 3.5, but some people have tested it at 3.2. The magazines have tested it at 3.2. So the difference between 2.9 and 3.2, I have no idea. Let's find out.
Let's have a little test here. Curb weight of a Nissan GTR, curb weight of a Trackhawk. Now you go, oh, well, that's a Jeep. But the GTR is a big car.
It is a big car.
Every time you come on that car, you go, that's a big car. Like when you walk up to that... It, in a weird way, it's sort of like what Nissan and Toyota in Japan, it's like their pickup trucks have quietly gotten bigger than American pickup trucks. Yeah. Like when you go out there with Dawson and his Tundra or whatever it is, like that thing's bigger than any one Ford F-150 or even 250. Like it's a huge truck. And Nissan GTR is like quietly outgrowing Porsche and even Corvette.
It's
like it
big.
Just feels big.
Oh, if I had to guess, I didn't look this up, so it's going to sound like I will because it's very specific. I'm going to say 3890 pounds for the GTR and 4450 for the Trackhawk.
Those are both impressive guesses. I'm going to say that the Nissan, even though it's big, they figured out a way to get some more weight out of that with materials and stuff. So I'm going to go with the Nissan in a 37 range and, I'll drop 100 pounds off of each one of your guesses.
Okay.
Say that's about where it is. And then I have some breaking bad news in the car department story, which is everyone has been telling me, oh, you got to watch The Dirt, the Motley Crue show.
Yeah.
The Dirt. And I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I watched it, and it was good, but then they bit me in the ass with the car.
I didn't see it yet.
Well... The story, so I'm sitting there watching The Dirt, right? And there's, of course, a famous story of Vince Neil going out drunk, and he's got the drummer or the bass player or whoever from the band Hanoi Rocks in his passenger seat, and he's going like he's out in the, I don't know, Redondo Beach or something, or Huntington Beach or whatever, and he's going on a run, and they're drunk, you know, and he comes back, they're driving back, he's drunk, swerves off the road, and his passenger dies.
God, right.
And he gets...
Yeah. That story I remember, I don't remember the car.
Vehicular manslaughter and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, sobers up in jail, whatever. But I'm watching it, and they show the car get totaled, and they total a car. And the car they total is a 80s era Corvette. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was a Pantera.
Yes.
Pretty sure it's a Pantera. I remember it was a Pantera.
Now that's
I remember he was driving familiar. A Pantera. That's my story. And I was like, yeah, they showed a vet. And then this. You know what I did, Max Pata? I made the biggest mistake anyone can ever make. I questioned me. And you know what I did? You know what I did? I went, wait a minute.
Was it a Corvette?
Pantera was the name of a band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, right about that time, there was Pantera, the band. And I was like, they were like a hair band. And I was like, maybe I'm thinking of Pantera, the band. Wait a minute. Was this guy in the band of Pantera?
Yeah.
Like, I started to muss with my mind a little bit.
Man.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure. And all that's what the computer's for.
That's right.
So I went and looked it up. And sure enough, he's in a Pantera.
Yeah.
Now, they destroyed this car. And you could get a ratty 1986 Vette for under $5,000, no problemo. Good luck finding a Pantera for under 50 in any kind of shape.
Yeah.
Right? And it's also not like, oh, I'll just get the kit Pantera, and well, they don't have it. So you cannot use a Pantera in that scene, because that scene, they're going to destroy a car, and you can't destroy a Pantera.
Right.
So you put them in a Corvette. But I was now ruined for the whole project.
That's
I was
it. Like, you're out on the movie. Did
I don't
you
believe
finish it.
I don't. Just, I don't know.
Sadly,
did Ozzy Osbourne snort ants? We don't know now. Now we don't know. We used to think we knew.
So in the movie, when they recreated it, it was the Corvette, because they're like pretty much.
It took like an 84, 85 Corvette, and they just totaled it out. But it wasn't a Pantera, and I got a big problem.
Now I would question every other fact in that movie.
Yeah. Well, now there's a new leader in the clubhouse. And when it used to be the Transformers when she popped the hood. Double pumper, high riser, nothing. No, not that. Not that at all.
I remember years ago when we had Brian Austin Green in here, and we called him out on that. He's like, I don't know, man. It's just what is written in there. She just does what's on the page. It's just not a care in the world. It's like, I don't, whatever.
Listen, I'm rightfully upset about that, because it was the easiest thing in the world. Just have her say what the engine is. A cross flow, cross ram air.
I don't blame her.
No, it's in the stupid script.
I blamed so many other people on the
so
set
many
that
others.
Day.
All right, let me tell you about Tommy John.
Yeah.
Warm weather is here, Tommy John. Got some new arrivals, man. I'm wearing my Tommy John's right now, TommyJohn.com. They got men and women's underwear. Sport the no wedgie guarantee, comfortable stay put waistbands and fabrics that are soft and designed to move with you. All new, insanely soft second skin polos as well. New Air collection for the ladies. This stuff is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Am I right, Matt?
Yeah, you can hurry to TommyJohn.com/carcast and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/carcast for 20% off. Plus, as a thank you to our fans for supporting our show and our sponsors, we're going to send you one pair of brand new Tommy John underwear. All you have to do is make a purchase at TommyJohn.com/carcast, tweet a screenshot of your receipt with the hashtag #CarcastComfort. That's #CarcastComfort. And one lucky fan will get a new pair of Tommy Johns from us. So don't forget to tweet using the hashtag #CarcastComfort. Go to TommyJohn.com/carcast.
All right. So I was driving around the Acura MDX.
Yeah. Wait, did we get those weights?
Sorry. The weights. Yeah.
All right. So the GTR, Matt guessed 3890.
Yeah.
Adam guessed around 3,700-ish.
Uh-huh. I took 100 off.
Yeah, so let's say 3,790. The actual weight is 3,836.
Okay.
So really it's right in between.
Right in between.
Wow.
Good.
You guys.
Wow. We may be right in between. Yeah.
And then the Trackhawk. Matt, you guessed 47 something?
I said 4,450.
Oh, 4,450. Yeah. And Adam guessed less. Well, it's 5,363.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
So
that is heavy.
I just went with a low number, I guess, because I thought it wasn't that big of an SUV, and it's so fast.
It's that lump and that drivetrain.
Yeah.
They got to weigh a lot.
I mean, if you think about it, the supercharger, the big twin screw supercharger with the air to water intercooling and the heat exchanger and all that stuff, probably got to add 80 to 100 pounds to the motor.
So also, Dodge got to come out with 1,000 horsepower next, right?
Well, I mean, we have a Demon with 840 horsepower. I don't think we'll see a Demon or red-eye version of the Jeep Grand Cherokee because it's going to just – it's already too expensive for a Jeep Grand Cherokee, so it would just – it wouldn't make sense.
Sorry, Max Bauer, were you saying something?
Oh, yeah, and we're just looking up the dirt. Yeah, you're right. The actual car is a 72 Ford Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dirt, they had the
Corvette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Fake-o.
Fake-o. Jeez.
Total fake-o, dude. Yeah. What year is that vet?
Yeah, it's 80s. Definitely 80s. Is that the one with the digital dash? It's the weird half
yeah.
thing with the tack.
Yeah. It's weird. There was a weird thing going on with dashes. There was like heads up display. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of Nissan was doing it. And like, which I, by the way, kind of like. You see yeah. how fast you're going on the windshield. But the tack, the I think Knight Rider ruined it for everybody. Because everyone's like, oh, we're going to get all digital.
Yeah. And they could have been stuck with the regular steering wheels and not the weird fighter jet handles.
Butterfly, man. Yeah. That's what he drove. I've been watching a little Knight Rider, by the way. I've been watching.
It's on at night on cable, like Epix or something.
I've been watching T.J. Hooker.
Oh,
and Knight Rider
on that channel. I watch Miami Vice.
Mmm. You know my favorite part about all cop shows from the 80s, and this goes for Chips. This goes for T.J. Hooker. It goes for everything. It's what they're wearing when they're not in their cop uniforms,
yeah.
like when Ponch. John and Poncherella weren't in, like when they're hanging out, yeah. members only, you know, tight flared pants, you know, weird dingo boots, you yeah. know, like the look, they had to have a look.
They had to have a look.
And the look was like, it was weird because it was like, it was a little dressy for $31,000 a year, like as a cop, you know,
yeah.
like I bet you cops don't dress that nice, but he is kind of the lead cop.
Yeah. And, so what's he get, 31.7? Like, how much could he possibly get?
And it's so funny, like, and like, someone's killing models, and he's got to find out and everything, and the model chicks have to hit on T.J. Hooker, even though they're 23-year-old models, and he's a 51-year-old cop, like a bad hairpiece, but they still have to hit on him, because it's funny, because he's T.J. Hooker, but... In real life, I mean, so it's Shatner. It's like a husky Shatner with a bad piece.
Yeah.
And the 20-year-old model's got to be like, oh, who are you? You know, and it's got to but it's like that would never happen
no.
if he was just a real cop, who's just a husky cop and
unless
a member's only jacket.
Unless he was a cop with a Rolex.
Yeah. It's a great. and you realize every single episode, it's car chase, everything. It's like
yeah.
the novelty of an e-brake was huge. Like, they're going down the street, and mm-hmm. it's like, one Mary Seven, bank robber. It's like, hold on, man. Just whip. It's e-brake, and then peel out after you got the 70 series tires.
Yeah.
You know, so like, e-brake with peel out,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the move. It's always the move. They always cut back to the interior of the car, and the chick, Heather Locklear, is like on the blower, like going, okay, one Mary Seven, pursuit. Like, she's never knocked around going, what the fuck? Like, come on.
yeah.
You have to do that all the time. You just yeah. e-brake and whip around. Like, do a three-pointer or just make a left turn and bring it around.
It's funny because if you start to watch Miami Vice as well, the guys who edit that show do the exact opposite of what Nate and his team does. Every time they cut to the scene of, you know, of Jan Hammer playing some tune and Don Johnson driving his car in the middle of the night, every time they need to show movement, so he's just constantly shifting.
Oh,
he's just
right.
shifting.
Right.
It was like, there's got to be 84 gears in that Testarossa to keep shifting. And then in a chase, when he has to go fast and dig into a turn, they cut to the stunt car that has billet wheels and no rear bumper.
Right.
And you're like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I do but, like when they use a different car.
But it reminded me because I'm pretty sure your buddy Chris Morgan, he and his production company are producing the reboot of the Miami Vice TV show.
Oh, really?
I think if you IMDb Chris Morgan and scroll down what's new with that guy, you're going to find Miami Vice. That makes me so excited.
Interesting. I've been watching a fair amount. So T.J. Hooker, always starts off with a car chase, and at the end, he runs a guy down.
He's got to run.
A lot of
running.
You got
to run.
A lot of running. You do this running, and at some point, you launch. You go like Superman. You jump on the guy. It's clearly these are the stunt guys.
They
roll around, and then they pop up. And when they pop up, they get into that 80s fight where it's like, he throws the one round, he blocks it, then he does the two body shots, like, boom, boom, and then the other guy goes wide, then he blocks it, and then he drops it.
There was a lot of that in the A-team as well.
Yeah, they take...
It's a lot of slow motion diving to take a guy down.
If you look at the fist fights are the same choreography on all of them, which is your guy cracks the first one, like when B.A. Baracus or whatever, like Mr. T, he'd take one, but then he'd give two. And they do like the two body shots, ching, ching, and then the wide and the block, and then the final hook and
That's
knock
it.
The guy down. Right. It was, I recommend it highly. You guys got it. And it was such a novelty just to see cars speeding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Big, heavy, square cars with skinny tires, but a lot of sidewall.
I know. And it was like every single time those guys came around the corner, it's a weird thing because here we are. It's like in the mid-80s. Like we had race cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people understood suspension geometry and tires and stuff. And those things were just huge. Big V8s, big heavy cars, probably tons of torque and no horsepower, 70 series tires, and they just go skidding across. Yeah. Hang on!
And keep in mind, you're talking like iron block, iron heads. Like,
yeah.
There was no real innovation at all in any of that.
No.
Live axle, leaf spring.
Yeah. I think Adrian Zmed must have wanted money or threatened to go do Dance Fever or something and split because he's all over season like 1 and 2. And then when you get to season 4, it's like, where's his partner? It's like, he's gone. Like, they don't bring his name up anymore. There must have been some sort of Adrian Zmed contract dispute or something. You know, like at some point, guy gets hot, wants a payday.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
It happens.
Watch
he leaves
Miami,
and you never hear from again and pulls like a David Caruso.
Watch Miami Vice. Watch T.J. Hooker.
T.J. Hooker.
Knight Rider's pretty good,
too. A-team, you can work an A-team in there if you're staying up late.
I love the A-team, too. I always love... Because then when it starts, it's like T.J. or Baracus or B.A. We're going to Bolivia.
Face.
We're going to Bolivia. And he's like, hey, fool, you know I don't fly. And he's like, oh, okay. Would you like some buttermilk? Give me that, fool. And I'd like, drink a buttermilk. And then he'd wake up on the plane. Yeah, what happened? We're flying.
They've done it to him like 9 times already. They're like, why does this always happen?
You think he'd catch on?
Yeah, I'm not drinking that.
No.
I'm not falling for the buttermilk again.
He always does it.
Nobody's been roofied more times than B.A. Baracus.
That's true. You say what you want about Bill Cosby, but nobody's been roofied more than B.A.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, and viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to become stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading oils. It's Castrol Edge, man. So the 935 is up on the frame table.
Yeah. I saw Sean making the table, and now I didn't get a chance to cruise over there, but Chris got photos of it up on the frame table.
Yeah.
And now it's just just a lot of measuring and fastening it down and figuring out what the issue is going
to
be.
Where we're at. It's kind of I guess it's good to have a frame table. I guess. Car says sitting up there taking a bunch of measurements on it, trying to figure out what's going on with the suspension on it. I kind of like it. It's like up on a pedestal. Looks good up there.
Yeah, not the worst thing in the world to just throw a little skirt around that thing and leave the car up there at some point.
Yeah.
The table was made for it.
Sean has I don't know, 16, 18 inches off the ground, looks like to me. And it's all squared up, and they loaded it on there with a trailer. And you can go to carcastshow.com and look up some of these pictures if you like. But we're going to – Sean's had an ass full of me because every time I see him, I go, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? He's like, I haven't measured. Like, I'm trying to figure it all out. I'm dying to know what's bent on that car and how we're going to straighten it or if it's bent at all or like what, why the discrepancy. Somebody tweeted me and said maybe the inside – the inside center of each hub is was off about an inch and a half from the right side to the left side. And they're like, well, maybe they set it that way to go in a circle.
Yeah.
No, but I don't want to be a dick about it, but you'd do that if it was on an oval, but it's a road course car, so they wouldn't they wouldn't do that because you're turning right and left, obviously.
Yeah, some people tweeted a couple of ideas. People had some suggestions and things to check and the coilovers and stuff, but we were really more talking about the wheelbase from front to rear and not – not so much the corner balancing, but I like all the I like all the comments. Good stuff.
I like that you guys participate, but you don't have to tell me to make sure the tires are topped off with air. I understood.
Yeah.
We get that part.
Yeah.
We check the air pressure.
I mean, to be fair, if you said Les was working on the car.
Yeah, make sure the tire gauge isn't on the whale tail.
Yeah. That's what's going on there. Well, the car looks good up there.
That's the best story of profiling ever, which is when I saw that tire gauge in the middle of the track, I was like, we're the only dumb people here. Why is there a tire gauge in the middle of the track if we're the only dumb people here?
But once again, you doubted yourself. You thought maybe it wasn't us.
I was like, we're the only dumb people here. But there's a tire gauge in the middle of the track, and I've done two laps, and there it is. So it can't be for me. So why is it there? Because it wasn't there when I did a lap ago, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And sure enough. And boy, we look back at this picture of it. Boy, was it in the middle of the track.
Such a good photo of it.
It was in such the middle of the track. And it was so insane. When I got back to the pits, and I was like, God damn, somebody left. And I was looking around at all the Bruce Kenepas and the Bruce Myers and all the people had their shit together, you know, and I was like, who's stupid enough to do this? Only us, but it can't be us. And then Les was like, where's my tire gauge? And I'm like, oh, boy.
I just bought it.
It's in the middle of the track. Yeah, there's like, it was a big ticket item for Les, too. Like, it was a sweet tire gauge.
And we're not talking the small tire gauge. The big round gauge with the hose coming off of it. It's, you know, you've guys seen the photo before.
It's funny. The thing we haven't the we didn't solve the mystery of the tank slapper, or we did.
Oh, we did. Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we've seen that one.
Yeah, yeah. Done a few tank slappers on that corner. That turn, I don't know, four or five. Turn four at Laguna Seca. It's a fast corner. It's got a little camber in it, and it goes up a hill. So you tend to just get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they do a I got the speed trap there.
Yeah.
So you always want to stay on it until you get through that speed trap. You know?
Yeah,
So like I want to lay down a good time, you know.
And you must have been going faster and faster with each lap because it took a couple laps to throw this gauge off the back.
Well, I think, did we figure out it was my tank slapper that threw it?
Oh, maybe it was.
Slapper was the third run the first day. You can see the gauge on the right side of the track right after the tank slapper.
Yeah, I guess
then in the center of the track, next lap.
Yeah, what do they call that? The Scandinavian flick when they get the drift guys to do it? You had a little bit of unintentional Scandinavian flick.
I could have made
it. Just enough to pitch the gauge off the
I could have made it back into the pits with the gauge still there.
That would have been fantastic.
It would have been... I think it would have happened if I didn't do the full tank slapper there. The back end on turn one, two, three, four. I guess turn four.
Four or five.
The left hander there. Well, I guess a bunch of left handers. But anyway, the back end started coming around.
Yeah.
And then it whipped hard, like, around the other direction, and then it snapped back and went back the first direction. It did a few good, it was a hard whip around, and it must have just threw that gauge right off the back of the whale tail.
Couldn't have landed in a more inconvenient place.
I love that. And there are guys driving around in expensive cars.
Oh, and then it got crushed and flattened. It didn't get pitched off to the side or anything. It just got crushed, destroyed.
Yeah. Let's watch it.
All right, let's watch it. You got the tank slapper
on
there?
The tank slapper.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh. Let's go to the beginning.
It's the very first one?
Yeah.
There it goes. We need a little sound here. Oh.
it was a lot of...
Yeah, there was geez, good recovery.
Yeah, it was all over the road. Run it again. Let me hear a little sound on it. There's a lot of moving around, but I quickly recovered, and I was on my way.
Arguably about a pound lighter.
Right.
This is the next lap. You look closer to the gate.
Oh, there
it
goes.
I just passed it by. Yeah, and so I'd already. Oh, I was behind a V8 Vantage or something, but I was...
You might have been the one who crushed it.
No.
Because I think when it came down around again, it was crushed.
I saw it, and I remember like, oh, some Nimrod left their shit out in the track. Like, I was like, some idiot must have set it on the back of their car or something. Or I was picturing them like leaving it in a super deep dish.
Yeah, in the wheel. Like, maybe even attached to the valve stem.
Yeah, something stupid.
And then eventually
like
kind of...
I had a whole myriad of like stupid moves that other people must have done to get that thing out of the track. And in my mind, I couldn't have done it because I would have seen it.
Yeah.
Did I do the tank slapper on what lap? I think
we figured 4 or 5.
I have it as the second lap.
Oh.
Right. It was the second lap, but I'd completed the first and not seen it. And that's how I knew it couldn't be me.
Oh, you know what? If we go back and watch a tank slapper, we'll see the gauge on the very right side of the track. And then when you come back around again, that's when it was centered.
Oh, so the tank slapper didn't knock it off.
No, it was on the track before the
either
tank
way.
Slapper.
Oh, why'd I bother with the tank slapper?
Yeah. I mean, it looked cool.
It looked cool.
Yeah. Why'd you
it looked cool.
It felt weirder than it even looked.
Yeah.
Like it felt like, oh boy, we're going around. And then it was like, oh, no, we're going the other way. And I was like, no, we're going this way. But all you know right. What I do in my move? I let go of the wheel.
That's it. It'll self-center.
Or not.
That's what the toe-in is for.
Yeah.
We take a little bit of that out of the race cars. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico. But actually, I want to hear a little bit about what you thought of that Acura MDX and the shopping around for SUVs. Geico, listen, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can add saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com.
All right. Max Pat is trying to find the... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's the...
It's in there already.
Age. Maybe it only took a lap.
Anyway. It was just... Look, whenever you think like, wow, there's somebody dumber than us here. No, there isn't. But just stop.
Yeah.
Like, I should have known that was us.
There's that version of it when they say when you're driving anything or racing or driving and you see smoke behind you, it's you.
Right.
It's always you. Like, you're right. If when you see something that dumb, you're like, what's the chances of it wasn't us? It's us. It's the smoke in the rearview mirror.
The Acura.
Yeah.
The Acura, what was I driving? MDX.
The MDX.
Yeah, it's nice.
Which is like the little bit larger. I drove an RDX, it's the small SUV. It's nice. And then the MDX is a little bit larger.
Everything works. Everything works nicely. I kind of enjoyed it. Mike and I took it for a romantic 7 hours in Palm Springs. We drove it out to Palm Springs, did a gig, and turned around and came home. Comfortable, nice, and I recommend it. I don't know. I haven't driven a lot of SUVs, so I don't have that much to compare it to, but like, it's nice. Everything works. You know, the Japanese stuff, it's a little more, you know, it's not a Range Rover, but it's totally nice. And I was working on a sauna, and I got a bunch of 2x4s in that thing.
Yeah.
Man. I got that's like 30
2x4s in there. That's
the size
we're talking about. Like, we're talking sort of that Ford Explorer, MDX,
yeah,
you know, Lincoln Aviator size. Sort of a three-row.
Mm-hmm.
Not Lincoln Navigator. It's a little big, but...
Right. Yeah. It worked, and I got used to driving around, and as I get older, I get a little less performance-oriented, a little more, like, utility oriented, a little more pop the hatch and throw the sacks in the back kind of thing.
Yeah.
And could be in my future.
Well, we're going to check out a couple more.
Yeah, and we'll keep you guys posted on that. We'll keep you guys posted on, Matt, when are you going to New York?
So I'm going to New York like 2 weeks, week and a half from now. I'll be there for the press day, April 17th. I'm going to interview Hiroshi Tamura. He's the chief product specialist for the GTR and Nismo brands at Nissan, and our friend Pete Brock.
Mm.
And we're going to do a nice little interview on one of the press days, and they're all celebrating 50 years of GTR and Nismo. I think there's an anniversary Heritage 370Z that's out now.
Oh.
And they're going to have there. But anyway, we'll record that. We'll bring that into CarCast as well. So
we had a sighting, Ford versus Ferrari. They played a trailer for it, I guess, at the big convention in Vegas.
CinemaCon.
And
yeah.
Some Mike had read on, what did he read it on? Sorry.
Well, it was reported everywhere. Mike sent you the Deadline link, which basically just said that everybody really enjoyed it. It is, all the tweets, everything that was said about it was, it's definitely an awards contender.
Yeah.
And everyone's really excited. I have a little, Variety wrote a little bit more about it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, so Damon plays engineer Carol Shelby. Bale portrays renegade driver Ken Miles. A first look trailer shows to the exhibitors, seemed to check multiple boxes. Mangold, the director, offered up sleek and honeycomb tinted shots, heavy on car porn and punchy dialogue. Bale looks brooding and slick with engine grease. Damon does not go for vanity here as a down-on-his-luck engineer shacking up in an Airstream trailer. Tracy Letts, who plays Ford, got all the laughs as a bone-dry American entrepreneur just desperate to best his auto rival.
Honeycomb.
I like it, I'm concerned a little bit about like some of the accuracies like you were talking about with the dirt and some of the other things because
accuracies.
Sorry, accuracies. Mm-hmm. Is some of the locations where they filmed some things are not exactly accurate. And like James Mangold is a great director. Let's see how this turns out.
Well, either way, it's good for us because I've just watched the last version of the Shelby doc and we just got Pete Brock in to watch it down. Mm-hmm. And then said he loved it. And then Nate got 70 pages of notes from Pete Brock. Pete Brock can write.
He went back at home and just wrote everything.
Yeah, I said to Nate, how many of the, don't we got to incorporate all the Pete Brock stuff? And he's like, not really. But it's good to know all that stuff. So Pete watched it and he enjoyed it. And we did. We got his input. Like, is this the right Daytona? We're showing the prototype Daytona, but it should have been the Daytona number 2 or 3, or which Daytona is this, and which blah 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 is that.
It'll be interesting to see if you Google Ford versus Ferrari trailer. The 24-hour war trailer is the second one that comes up because it's not released in the on YouTube yet. So if people are looking for it, they'll probably just stumble upon your doc.
That's good. You should write down now how many views are on that YouTube trailer to see what happens in the next month.
Already did.
Now you sound like Lynette's evil twin who I've never met. That's a good idea. So as this thing goes on, because do we have a title for the movie yet?
Ford versus Ferrari.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry if I seem whatever, but I forgot if that was locked in or not.
And all the articles are saying it's based off the 24-hour war. Whatever A.J. Baim's book was called.
The 24-hour war. Yeah.
No, we were called the 24-hour war. He was called Go Like Hell.
Go Like Hell. It was based off of Go Like Hell.
Oh, they are? Because there's a little lawsuit brewing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like he...
Oh, I've seen multiple articles.
He had that quick option three times, and then they went, all right, we're good. And then they made the movie. So he's kind of saying, maybe that's me.
Might be misreporting then.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm sure it is based off the book and probably the documentary that we made.
But
nobody wants to cut a check or even say thank you.
Right. Well, you can't acknowledge anybody because then that's an admission of guilt. Does the 24-hour war say the battle Ford versus Ferrari or something at the bottom? Or what is the exact slug line under there? I'll let you look at that. Let me find Z-Bar here first. Ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, muffler tips, mufflers and tips, by the way. Thickness of 0.001 inch reduces radiant heat by 90%. First DIY thermal control coating of its kind. Well, that's true. Before they said like the rattle can junk turn in a different color and then it'd flake off after it heat cycled a few times. And it wouldn't flake off. You'd see the rust coming through the header. You can apply Z-Bar yourself. There's a video you can take a look at or written step-by-step instructions at zycoat.com. Three awesome colors, bronze, midnight black, and cast silver. You could probably do a custom one, too.
Yeah, you got to call them up or email them and figure it out.
You can go to zycoat.com and auto parts locations like AutoZone and pick it up yourself. CarCast listeners get 15% off plus free shipping and orders. Go to zycoat.com. This is real good stuff, so don't miss out on that. What is the slug line under the thing?
There is no slug line. It is just the 24-hour war everywhere. I would suggest changing it.
oh, it is. What do you, when you look at the,
poster?
You look at the cover of the cover of the DVD, it doesn't say like the story of it.
All the posters, it just says from the team that brought you winning the racing life of Paul Newman.
Now I get that. But you got to look at a picture. It's not going to say it. Maybe you got to look at a picture of the DVD box to see. To verify.
I have the DVD cover here. There's a quote from Richard Roper, a brilliant documentary about the clash between two legendary automotive titans from the team that brought you Paul Newman, the 24-hour war.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. No Ford versus Ferrari. It's weird.
That is weird. I think you should change it. Yeah, All right. Edge of Tomorrow changed their title.
That's so right.
You guys could.
That's right.
I think whatever we're doing on chassis and everything else, we just start planting all of our keywords in there. Just start putting Matt Damon and Christian Bale's name in all of our meta tags.
Yeah. All right.
Why not? They're not paying anything anyway.
Live shows, San Francisco coming up. Cobb's Comedy Club. That'll be the 19th and the 20th, Friday, Saturday in April. So come say hi. Two shows each night. Why shouldn't I work every day?
Yeah,
and Sacramento Thunder Valley Resort and Casino. That'll be the next week on the 26th. We'll do an Adam Carolla's Unprepared. Come say hi. Go to AdamCarolla.com. See my stand-up special, not Taco Bell material, at Chassis, CHASSY.com. And check out Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One as well. Matt, anything we're missing here?
I think we got it, except our New York Auto Show. We'll get a bunch of photos and stuff from that as well. It'll be fun.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.